Hello and welcome to Easy Hypnosis, a common everyday approach after Erickson. I'm Rob McNeely and this is Creating the Foundations, Part 1, Demystifying Hypnosis. Now, hypnosis has kept very weird company over the centuries, including magic, sorcery, been associated with general anesthetics, the devil, and it's no wonder with these associations that, as Michael Yapko very whimsically quips, how come hypnosis is still the crazy cousin that nobody wants to invite to the family picnic? And with those associations, no wonder nobody wants hypnosis to come to the picnic. So if we look at some of these influences, magic has associated with it a function of the magician, who is a charismatic, usually male, person who has the personal power to force and impose his will on some passive recipient. The power is with the magician, with the person, with the operator. And some of the influences of magic hang around in the background of traditional hypnosis, where the hypnotist is the person who's in charge, they are running the show, they have the power, they tell the person being hypnotized what they are doing, what they will do, what they'll experience, and the recipient is just in the background and is totally powerless, totally passive. And, of course, not everybody is responsive to this, and so the question comes about who is susceptible, who is hypnotizable. And this is a direct consequence of the fact that the idea of magic, not everybody is going to be susceptible to the power of the magician or, as we're saying now, the hypnotist. Sorcery, on the other hand, is a function not so much of the person themselves, but the power is in the words. You can go to any New Age bookshop and buy a book of spells. And anyone can speak these spells, and the power of the spells, of the words in the spells, has the influence, has the power to control someone else. And again, this other person is passive, powerless, and really just there to be influenced by the words. Now, not everybody's going to be influenced by the words. So, again, the issue is this person susceptible or not? Are they open to suggestions or not? And this mood lives on in some areas of use of hypnosis in the form of hypnotic scripts, where you can buy a book of scripts. And a client comes in for hypnosis, and you say, what's the problem? And they say, oh, I've got this, I've got that. And the therapist looks up the book of scripts and just reads out the scripts. Now, of course, this is the scripts are standard scripts, and they're going to be excellent for a standard person. In my years of teaching and working so far, I haven't met one. But if we have a standard person, then we can have a standard script. General anesthesia became popular, or was started to be come into use 100 years ago, around about the same time that hypnosis became popular also. And some of the jargon from general anesthesia percolated across and become part of the jargon associated with hypnosis. And in some hypnotic circles, in particular the traditional approach, people talk about putting someone out, putting them under, someone becoming unconscious, not remembering what's happening to them, maybe saying something or doing something they wouldn't normally do. And so with this, of course, any sensible person would be wary about letting themselves be anesthetized or put out or put under by someone. And that's an understandable response that's part of the common everyday understanding or association with what hypnosis is. Now, Ericsson came along, and one of his many, many contributions was him speaking about the common everyday trance, where we look out of the window and daydream, where we get absorbed in reading a book, where we get so involved in watching a movie that we forget we're watching a movie. We're actually in the plot, in the experience of it. And by thinking of hypnosis as an extension of this common everyday trance, it allows us to place hypnosis as a part of our everyday life. Nothing weird, nothing exotic, nothing to be frightened of, but simply an extension of what we are all doing. And each person will have their own way of getting focused and absorbed in something. Not everybody will get absorbed and focused in reading a book or daydreaming. Some people will get lost in the experience of gardening or going for a walk in nature. It's going to be very different for different people, but each person has their own individual experience of the common everyday trance. And so this allows for a normal everyday connection with an experience that we can then extend and allow and help and facilitate to become a hypnotic experience. And that really cuts through the unnecessary concern about, is this person hypnotizable or not? Because every person has their own capacity to become absorbed in something, we can invite that absorption and then invite an extension of that, and then we have the foundations for the hypnotic experience. And so by doing that, it makes it hypnosis more available to people. The whole process becomes more approachable, more normal, more useful, beneficial for everybody.